Blog Talk Radio.
Happy New Year and welcome to Chatting with Sherry. My first broadcast of the year is with the lovely Amor Goodman and her new book, The Temptation of Love. Welcome, Amor.
Thank you, Sherry. It's good to talk to you. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Nice talking to you, too. I hope you had a really happy holiday.
I did. How about yourself?
Oh, wonderful. It was nice and fun and quiet and all the same.
And mine was exactly the opposite. It was lively and spirited and filled with the dreams of a three-year-old.
Oh, yes. Three-year-old. You poor thing. No sleep. Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, on the East Coast, I live in New Jersey. A suburb of Philadelphia, so I'm about 10 minutes outside of the big city. I went to college in New Jersey, and I actually have a degree in psychology, of all things, which makes for a great background for writing romance novels. And in 2 weeks, I will be graduating with a master's degree in public administration.
That's cool. What college?
University of Phoenix.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what led to your writing?
Well, writing has always been kind of a hobby. Starting probably as far back as I can remember in school, I always enjoyed the writing assignments. I always enjoyed the creative assignments that we had, but I never really thought of it as any kind of career path. It was always just a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long, long time, my mother always assumed that I was going to go to school for journalism. And when I told her I was majoring in psychology, she was a little taken aback. But again, I never thought of it as a job. It was always just something that I loved to do. I loved to read. I loved to write. It was something that filled the spare time that I had. So it's been a long time thing for me. And it wasn't until maybe a few years ago that a friend of mine, you know, was just like, you should write a book. And I said, okay. That was kind of the start of it.
Simple as that.
It was simple as that.
When you are reading a book, does it ignite your imagination or does it come from your just dreams, or how does your story lines and your ideas come, or does it come from everyday life?
Well, first and foremost, I'm a lover of romance novels. I read all kinds of romance novels, doesn't matter who, I just love romance novels. So I knew that that would be the genre that I would write in. The inspiration for my characters, on the other hand, really come from a combination of the personalities of the people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of take bits and pieces and create people, and then I will oftentimes let my friends choose a personality trait. How would you like for this person? I'm going to base this character on you. How would you like for them to walk or talk, or what career path would you like them to have, or what car would you like them to drive? I do that very often with my friends and family to help give my characters some real life personality.
That's funny. So you have like they get their fantasy life while you're creating your book.
Oh, absolutely.
So they can pick up the
and
book
I'll have
and
friends
it.
Who will call me up and say, when are you writing my book? Or when are you going to start on my character? Or who is my character going to marry? And I have to tell them, relax, I'm going to get to you. But they get very excited
about it. You may not recognize you.
They get to live out their whole dream through what I'm running. I mean, especially when it comes to choosing a car. I have friends who choose Aston Martins and Lamborghinis and, like, all kinds of things that you would never even think of, like the average person.
That is funny. That is funny. Yeah, well, might as well have a dream car that you'll never have if you're going to have a character doing things
exactly.
That you're never going to do.
Exactly.
That's the fun. It's like being an actress. You get to do all the stuff that you'll never in your real life get to do.
Absolutely.
That's a really fun thing that you do. That's cool. Does history or any kind of reading, like you said you loved romance novels, does that have an effect on your writing? And who's your favorite romance writer?
It does have an effect on my writing. It actually, I look at reading romance novels like research.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm reading those types of novels, not only am I reading them for entertainment, but I'm reading to get a sense of style and how the stories develop and, you know, what kind of things are popular right now. And, you know, just kind of the way that you would read a textbook on astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that I will read a romance novel. Now, I do read other things. Now, I really like thrillers, and I'm a huge science fiction fan. So I read a lot of things, but my first love is romance. Now, I do try to write about places that I know. Like in this book, The Temptation of Love, it's set in Philadelphia. I grew up in Philadelphia. So I know the streets. I know the landmarks. When you're reading the book, if you're familiar with the area, you can say, I know where this intersection is. Or
yeah.
I know this building that she's talking about, you know, as you're going through the story. And it kind of gives you a mental picture that you can place these people in.
Yeah, and sometimes when you do that, your friends, I remember I wrote a story where I mentioned that the characters met at Dupar's in North Hollywood, and I was going through all this. And one of my girlfriends said, is that the one where we had lunch?
Right.
I said,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm kind of giving like a little bit of, you know, the whole Philly flavor going on in this first book. So I like to do that. So if for that, in that respect, I also like to travel. So I like to go to different places to see the city or to see, you know, the environment, and, you know, so I can incorporate those into my writing. I probably should write that off as a tax write-off. But that's
I wonder
what
if
I
they'd
like.
Accept it.
If they'd accept that, right? The IRS will say, yeah, that's perfectly fine. But yeah, I like to go to different places, you know, and I keep that in mind when I'm doing it.
I see. And when you are when you're writing your books, you said you like science fiction. Would you consider doing a science fiction romance?
Not right now. Not right now. I am currently, though, working on what's called a romantic suspense. And one of my favorite romantic suspense cultural writers is Maureen Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm working on right now. And it's a little bit harder than what's considered like contemporary romance, which is what I usually write. Because romantic suspense, you kind of have to know the ending before you can start.
Right. It's like writing a good mystery.
Right. Because everything builds up to
that climax.
The dun, dun, dun at the end of the story.
Yeah.
So that's been a little bit harder for me. But with my contemporary romance novels, and I read a lot of cultural romance novels, some of my favorite authors are Brenda Jackson, Frances Ray, Maureen Smith, who also writes contemporary romance novels, Angie Daniels, Sarah Rashan. The list kind of goes on and on.
And
I have an e-reader right now, and I currently have about 75 books in my active library waiting to be read, and about 300 books in my archived library that I've already gone through.
I know how you feel. I'm pretty much the same. I have a lot of books that I'm either waiting to read or about to read.
Right.
Because I personally, I read three books at the same time, but at you know different times. So I'm reading this book, and then I read that book, and then I read that. Because I read one book that I'm reviewing, and then I read a book that's nonfiction and a book that's fiction, basically for my pleasure. So,
okay.
So I can't like read everything at the same time. So people have to be a little patient with me.
Absolutely. I've actually gotten into the world of audiobooks. I have a 45-minute commute one way.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of listening to the radio, I'll just download an audiobook and listen to that. So I listen to most of my mysteries and thrillers on audio, which is awesome.
I like audiobooks. It's just that they're condensed and you're missing some of it.
Oh, no, you have to get it unabridged.
Oh, No, I never had one of those.
You have to get
an unabridged edition of an audiobook.
Absolutely. Now, it might be about 30 hours long, but it's awesome.
How many CDs is that?
Oh, no. You can't put them on a CD. You have to get an MP3 player.
Oh, okay. Because I had the CDs that you stick in and you listen to them, but I didn't know that they had it. Oh, okay. Learn something new every day.
There you go. Put them on an MP3 player, and it just plays continuously for hours.
And that's what you do on your way back and forth from work?
That's what I do.
That sounds good. And at least it's more entertaining than the traffic report.
Absolutely.
Give us a taste of your book, and what do you want your readers to take away from the experience?
Well, The Temptation of Love. First off, it's a series, and this is the first book in the series, and it's about a family, an African-American family based in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things I did when I was crafting the series was I wanted to create a family, a cultural family that was an opposite of all of the stereotypes that we see out there about African-American families, that, you know, African-Americans do go to college and they are successful and they do have successful careers and they do have intact and loving families that produce well-rounded individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I wanted to do that is because there's this huge explosion of what's called urban fiction. And a lot of urban fiction that I've read, you know, nothing against it, but it depicts the stereotypical lifestyle of an urban environment. So I wanted to do something very, very different than that.
Hmm.
So that's why I came up with the series, which is going to be ultimately the love series of books about this cultural romance. So the first book starts off with the eldest son in the family, whose name is Alexander. And Alexander is a lawyer, and he's been very successful, and he, you know, ends up winning this big case that makes him the youngest partner in his law firm. So he has this huge family and this overbearing mother who just loves you to death, like smothers you with love. Loves you to death. They want to throw this congratulatory party for him, which they do. And when they do, this is when he meets his love interest.
Okay.
So, without giving away too much of the book, they have to go through some things, which is always the case, right?
Right.
They have to go through some things in order to figure out that they are truly meant for each other and to have their happily ever after. And this is where my whole element of surprise kind of comes in, because there are some unsavory people from his past who come back and say, you know, now that you're successful, I'm going to be in your life.
Ooh.
So he has to not only deal with his newfound feelings for his love interest, but he also has to deal with this woman coming back into his life who was never good for him, who still is not good for him, and has, you know, bad intentions all around.
Right.
And she is willing to go so far as to eliminate her competition in order to have him.
Oh, my God. That is good. Really good.
Thank you.
And do you have an idea how many books are going to be in your series?
Right now the number is 13.
Wow. That's a heavy task you're putting in front of yourself.
And, you know, it didn't start like that. I think when I thought about it, you know, just kind of fleetingly thought about it, I was thinking, okay, maybe it'll be like 5 or 6 books. And then once I started putting it down on paper and creating, what I did was I actually created a family tree. And once I created the family tree, I'm like, wow, this is going to be like around 13 books. If I write about all the people I want to write about, that's the number we're going to be at.
Wow. Well, your three-year-old will enjoy watching you write, I hope. What do you do with your family? I mean, do you have deals with them? I mean, do you bribe your three-year-old with ice cream, or how do you do it?
That's funny. Well, I still, people ask me too, I still write the old-fashioned way with a notebook and a pencil.
Me too.
And I do that because at this point when I turn the computer on, my three-year-old thinks we're supposed to log into Nick Jr. So that's not going to work. So I can't, like, type with him in the house. And if I have a pencil, that is totally uninteresting, so he'll go off and play and do his own thing. But normally what I'll do is I kind of write whenever it hits me. So, you know, it might be 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm up writing. It might be 1 o'clock in the afternoon during my lunch hour and I'm writing. It might be while my son is at karate class, I'm writing. It's really kind of fragmented and all over the place. And there are very few times where I'll have large blocks of time when I write.
Yeah. Well, that's most of us because we have busy lives. But isn't writing with pen and paper the best? Because it's like it almost flows from your head to the pen. That's the way I feel. Better than.
And you know what? You never have to wait for something to boot up or turn something on or lose it or it doesn't get deleted or anything like that. And you can go back and scratch it out and write it again and
tear
and my friends
out a page
laugh at
and
me.
Scrunch it up and write it over again.
And start over.
Yep. Because I've tried both ways, because I said, well, in order to be a professional, you have to do it right into the computer. And I'm like, I can't do it. I just can't. It doesn't sound as natural, the dialogue, everything. I just don't feel it when I'm writing it. To me, that's an editing tool. When I start my editing process, I put it in the computer. But to write and be creative, I need pen and paper.
I feel the same way. And you know what, I also, when I am sitting at the computer and trying to do the creative process and type at the same time, I think it's something about the mechanics of typing that, like, makes me nervous.
Yeah, it's not as natural.
It's not
as
natural.
I mean, I know there are people that do that. I mean, lots and lots and lots. Everybody's different. And I respect that, and I think it's amazing that they can write these amazing books and do it directly into the computer, but I'm not one of those people.
Neither am I. And I love the fact that I can, like, stick a mini notebook in my handbag and take it with me.
Yeah. Yeah,
and, you know, anytime I have an idea or – you know, as they say, the character speaks to you. You know, I can take out that notebook and write down my notes and keep those things close to me. And even if I pop my eyes open at 3 in the morning, I can reach over, grab my notebook, write a couple things down, and go back to sleep.
Exactly.
So
I
much
mean,
easier.
You can't do that with a computer.
No. Unless you always have it on, and it's always up to exactly where you need it.
Which is impossible. But it's funny because I totally relate to that. I mean, it's just one of the things that I find when you're doing it with your hand and a piece of paper is that you can, like, start writing and then you can stop and, wait a minute, I want this in a different section. You can tear it out and you can put it where you want it to go. I mean, I know you can do it with a computer. It just, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be as satisfying.
And you know what else I like? I like the fact that as you're writing along, you can flip back 12, 13, 20 pages and flip back and forth to help to keep your story consistent.
Right. And you can, like, look at the page, first page, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't put that in. And you flip through, and, okay, there, I can stick that in here and start that part of the storyline here. You can't do that with a computer. Not as easily.
Yes, not as easily. So, yes, I'm very attached to my pen and pencil.
Me too. I it's unusual because most people seem to be the computers, you know, their laptop and their tablet, and that's the way they go for everything. But I don't know. It's just not organic to me.
I will have my pen and pencil for a very long time.
Yep. I agree. Can I ask, what do you think of all the different styles of publishing? The independent publishers, like you did, the self-publishing, the old-fashioned publishing. Do you think independent and self-publishing are the wave of the future, or do you think it's all going to be combined, or how do you feel about it?
Generally, the publishing world is very difficult for me to conceptualize because it is a business. And I think that a lot of times the publishing part of it interferes with the creativity of writing.
Right.
A lot of times they'll either give you a minimum or maximum word count, or, you know, there are so many mechanical rules when it comes to publishing that I think that an author or a writer can get totally overwhelmed by the publishing process. So with that said, I think that the many different avenues there are to publishing makes it difficult for writers. Right now I'm in the process of trying to publish the second book in the series, which is already completed and done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting into that whole publishing aspect of it. And I really just find it difficult.
Me too.
At this point, you even have to, like, when you're presenting something to a publisher, be it, you know, the traditional or maybe even an independent publisher, your work basically has to be ready to go on the shelf. And a lot of times that's hard for a writer because you'll read something 20 different times and it sounds right to you because you know how it's supposed to sound in your head. So you may be missing the same mistake, you know, over and over and over again. And they really can, the publishing world can really crush your spirit if you aren't strong enough in your resolve to be a creative writer.
Right. I agree. And it's very harsh. Very, very harsh. I mean, even if you go to a writing group and you start reading your work, I've noticed that I'm a gentle person. When I read someone else's work, if I see an error or if I think something isn't working, I tell the person, but I don't say it in such a way that you diminish the person, but it seems to me that seems to be the way they think it's supposed to be, and they're just vicious in some... I've actually changed groups 3 or 4 times trying to find the right group because I don't mind criticism. I just don't want to be torn to pieces by it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Being constructive in your criticism is one thing, but totally ripping apart somebody's work, like, you don't know what sacrifice they made to create that.
Exactly.
And creativity is a sacrifice. You are sacrificing some part of you to work within whatever your creative medium is. So if somebody,
it's part of your soul.
Right. If somebody tears that apart, like, you don't know how that's going to affect that person. Like they may never create anything ever again based on, you know, the criticism they get back. And I think that's something that the publishing world is lacking.
Right.
On the other hand, I think that e-books are totally amazing.
Me too.
And I think that it gives another outlet for authors to be able to get their work out there. Now, you do have to do a little more work on your own, a little bit more editing, you know, a little bit more polishing of your own work. And I think, again, you know, you have to find where you fit.
Exactly. And also, I just think that when you self-publish, it's, like you said, it's much harder. I've done it, and it's much, much harder. But there's a satisfaction in getting it out there. It's just,
right,
you feel better. You're like, okay, whatever happens, at least I published, you know?
Right, and you retain all of your creative control.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, a traditional publisher can literally turn you into a huge name.
Yeah, it's true. But then again, they are looking for reality stars to write books.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some that are talented, but I mean, 99%, like, there's 1% that can write a book, and they're good, and they know what they're doing, and it's and they've always wanted to, and they have the talent, and I'm all for them. But the other 99% are just doing it because their agent says, well, it'd be good for your career to show diversity.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the few reality shows that I watch, I probably would not want to see any of them writing books.
I know. I mean, and I don't want to say anything because I don't want to say anything about anybody good or bad in the reality world. But there is a couple of people that I know have written books, and you're like, oh, my God. How do they write it when they're on a talk show talking about it? They can't even explain it.
Exactly. Exactly.
How did you write a book?
And you know what? I worked at a bookstore part-time. And we look at books that came in, and I would look at the cover, and all I could do was stand there and say, really? And just put it on the shelf and move on to the next one.
Exactly. We only have a little time left. Why don't you tell about your upcoming book, the one you're working on?
Okay. Well, like I said, the sequel to The Temptation of Love is already finished, and I'm looking to have that published this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I haven't started working on the third one because I wanted to take a break and do an independent title. And the independent title that I'm working on is going to be that romantic suspense that I was talking about earlier. So I'm stepping a little bit out of the box to craft that, to see how that works out. It's been something I've wanted to work on for a long time. And then I'm going to get back to the series and work on book number 3. So my plan is to be done with my romantic suspense by the summer, and to start on book 3 by the fall.
Well, that's fantastic. It sounds like it. I want to read it. It sounds really great.
Thank you.
I want my live audience to thank Gamora for such a wonderful interview, and I want to thank you, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry.
Oh, you're very welcome. Next week, please join me in chatting with Quinn Barrett about her new book, Invisible Snow. Thank you for chatting with Sherry.